Well, it's taken us a year to get to the end of the series. We're in Laodicea, chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, and 7, completion. Revelation, chapter 3, verses 13 to 22. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you are cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye slaver, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Laodicea. Everybody knew Laodicea. At the time of when John was writing, it was known throughout the world as a wealthy city. It was known for its banking. On virtually every corner, there was a bank. Imagine that. It was known for its medical centre. It was known if you had an eye problem, you'd go to Laodicea if you had the money. It was known also, it had a large Jewish community of over 700 men. It was also known for a place where there were sheep, and it was known for the black sheep that was shiny. It was known for its carpet making, expensive rugs and clothing. But despite all its wealth and all its money, where it was situated, it needed water coming from 6 miles away being pumped in to Laodicea. Now, when it started, where the water was, there was hot springs. Now, just imagine that your water's coming to your tap. And by the time it travelled those 6 miles, it was neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. Have you ever drank lukewarm water? It is foul. You either want it very cold, so it's refreshing, or you want it hot, like for a hot cup of tea. Lukewarm is horrible. So, when the Lord uses examples of a place, he talks to the people in the situation that they find themselves in. So let's start. He who has an ear, verse 13, chapter 3. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This is the most important phrase that within these letters that we've looked at, the seven letters. Have we an ear? Who is speaking? It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Seven letters. Completion. When we had six, we had partial. Now we have the completeness of our letter to us at Oldham Park. So, how does he introduce himself in this letter? And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The Amen, the faithful and true witness. Jesus is who he claims to be, fully God and fully man. Amen. No more to add. What he says, it happens. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and he did. He's paid the penalty in full for all our sin if we put our trust in him, if we've believed on him. No more to pay. Amen. Complete. Some people see partially. When we have the Gospels, there is partial sight. That's why we have four Gospels, looking from all different angles. But this person speaking is the Lord Jesus Christ, who sees it all. He sees everything. He sees into our own souls. He sees our minds. He sees how we think. He sees how we gather. He sees it all completely. He's faithful. And he speaks. And he's true. The beginning of the creation of God. Now, Laodicea is very close to, we have another letter in our Bibles. Do you know where it's close to?
Colossae.
Colossae, yeah, it is. So there's a letter there, and it mentions the Laodiceans there. So if you want to look into a little bit more detail of the background, and it's only down the road, basically. So, Laodicea. The beginning of the creation of God. Now some people think, some false religions say Jesus is the firstborn of creation. That isn't right. This is why it says the beginning of creation. Jesus, well, the incarnate Son spoke and creation came into being. So that is heresy to believe that Jesus isn't fully God in the same way the Father is fully God and the Holy Spirit is fully God. The beginning of the creation of God, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. Look at this letter, at the start of this letter. There's no commendation there. Normally, at the start of the other letters, there's commendation. But here, there is none. He says, I know your works. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, this church Laodicea was wealthy. They gathered together. And they thought they were doing all right. You couldn't say they'd lost their first love. You couldn't say that about them. We're okay. We've got each other. We're listening to the Lord. We're okay. people outside respect us. We're respectable. We go to church. You know, we meet together. We're doing okay. Okay. You see, doing okay is not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Because in John, we're told, when people saw Jesus, this is what they said about him. Then it was written, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." You see, Jesus was zealous. Are you zealous? Or do you just go through the motions? Am I zealous? What does that mean? Does it mean being a lunatic and stopping everybody on the street and saying, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" It means being faithful. It means listening to what God has said and applying it to our lives day by day. You see, did you know, however long you have walked with the Lord, he's not interested in your past. Did you know that? He's not interested in what happened yesterday. He's not interested in what happened to me yesterday. He's interested in what happens today. Where are you with the Lord today? He's not interested in what happened 150 years ago on this site. He's not interested. He's interested not even what happened 50 years ago, not even in what happened a year ago. He's interested in where we are today. Today. Think about that. It's today that the Lord Jesus Christ is interested in you. Where are you with him today? "I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to a church. Now we can say, can't we? "Oh, he wouldn't speak to us like that." I wonder how you view this area. I wonder how you view the people in your neighbourhood. You see, everything is written to be a help to us today, this very day. And when we go back in the history of the people of God, think about this. People arrived and God had promised them that they'd go into the promised land. They'd gone through the sea. The Egyptians had died. This is the people of Israel. They'd escaped slavery. And they've got to the edge of the promised land. And God has been with them. You could see a cloud. And you could see fire at night and a cloud in the day, going in front. And they're at the edge of the promised land. And they send people in to look out the land. The leaders, not anybody, every leader, 12 leaders, went into the land for 40 days and spied out the land. There's giants in that land. The people around here are too hard. They've got too much money. There's giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers, we're small, insignificant. You see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, if we look at Numbers 13, verses 27 to 30, it says this: "Then they told him and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit.' So it was good as the Lord had said. Nevertheless, The people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they espied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Every word that you speak, the Lord takes it personally. Are you a moaner? Are you a complainer? He takes it personally. He really does. You see, at the start of this series, we spoke about three R's. Do you remember them? You remember them? Remember? Repent. Revive. Revive. Remember. So we remember what happened. They could have gone in, but instead, the people are too big for us. They're not interested in us today. People are not interested in the gospel today. It's an old message. Oh, I'll just stay quiet. Do you do that with your friends? They're not interested. They won't be interested. They've got too much money. They've got too much many worries. You see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, God knows your heart, knows my heart. And what we speak reveals who we're putting our trust in. Whether we're trusting ourselves or we're trusting in the Lord. You see, when we look at this, we have a great God. Remember, back to Revelation 14. "These things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I will vomit you out," verse 16, "I will vomit you out of my mouth because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." The Lord speaks to this church. You might think we're doing okay. Not good enough. Not good enough. You might think we see things clearer than any other local church. But what does the Lord say? You see, if we're not relying on the Lord for everything today, he's not interested in us being half-hearted at all. It is all or nothing. He'd rather you be a Saul of Tarsus, fighting hard against the gospel, passionate, full on, or a Paul who's passionate to see people saved, to come to Christ. He beats his own body up, in a sense, so he's not disqualified each day before he goes out to speak to people. He has his time with the Lord. He disciplines himself. It doesn't come from outside, it comes from him personally and his walk with the Lord. And it is interesting, if you look at how the candlesticks are made, have a look at that, how the candlesticks are made. It's beaten gold. It is very interesting, but I haven't got enough time to go into the candlestick side of things in Deuteronomy and Numbers. So, because you say I am rich and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked, verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me. I counsel you to buy from me. I'm not going to give you it. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye slaver, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Are you proud of your walk with the Lord? Give it up. Are you proud of this church? Give it up. What are you proud of? You see, my friends, my brothers and sisters, the Lord walks with his church. And if you love him, you obey him. You see, it is interesting when you look in Exodus where it talks about where the Lord gives instructions for the tabernacle. And then later on, he gives instructions for the tabernacle. And later on, there's another exactly the same list. Why is that? Do you know? Those are the instructions. That's been done to the letter. Those are the instructions. That's been done. You know, the Lord gives us duties to do each day. The Lord gives us his Spirit. And he gives us things to do. And we either do them or we miss out. You know, it takes a lot to shut the world's noise out, to shut other voices out and get alone with the Lord, doesn't it? There's so many voices out there, and the Lord is speaking to us tonight. So it doesn't matter whether you're the person that does the flowers. What are you doing? It doesn't matter if you're the person that's poured this water. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're the preacher. We're one body. We've all got a role to play. No one, not a single person is left out. Not a single person is left out. We're like a jigsaw. We're incomplete without each other. The Lord has placed us in this locality, in this church, when people are missing, when our fellowship, our members are missing, it's less than we should be. Do we miss them? He's called us into this place. And the church is the mission. The missionary station from heaven. We're in touch with heaven. And we are the missionary station for heaven. Isn't that amazing? The Lord calls us ambassadors. An ambassador doesn't come with his own message. An ambassador dresses how he represents who he's speaking for. So does it matter how you dress? Yes, it does. Does it matter what you eat? Yes, it does. Does it matter what you drink? Yes, it does. Does it matter where you go? Yes, it does. Does it matter how you treat your family? Yes, it does. You're an ambassador for the King of Kings. He's appointed you as an ambassador wherever you are. And he's preserved you this day. He hasn't taken to your heaven yet. So you've got work to do. I'm too old or too young. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that should thrill your soul, that he has confidence in you, even though if you have no confidence in yourself. And our confidence should be in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in ourselves. And when we buy, we have to give up something. And that's why I'm saying to you, you have to give up your own pride. It's humbly come to the Lord. Your own status, does it matter? Whether you're sitting in the pew or standing at the front, does it matter? What matters is that you're walking and you are where the Lord wants you to be. Don't be in a place that the Lord doesn't want you to be. And I'm thankful that a lot of you, I know, prayed for us when we were away last week. And we had a good time, and thank you for your prayers. This prayer time, the prayer meeting, is vital to the well-being of the church. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye saliver, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Look, Jesus was zealous. We need to be zealous. We need to be full on for him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many people does it take to open the door? How many people? Does it take all of us to open the door? It takes one. So wherever you are, you might think you're not responsible. But whoever you are, each one of us can open that door. Each one of us can go to the door and it be opened. Or will you stay with the crowd? The crowd is often wrong. You see, it is interesting. When we look back to the church before Laodicea, chapter 3, verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name. So there's an open door. And now there's a closed door. And the Lord is standing outside. And he's knocking at the door of your heart and mine. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Do you know where else a door was shut in the Bible, in the Old Testament? Is in one of the most sensuous books in the Bible. It's in the Song of Solomon. And it is talking about a man and a woman. How does the God of the Bible relate his church? He relates his church as a bride and him the bridegroom. So whoever you are, isn't it interesting? In chapter 5, verse 2, it says this in the Song of Solomon: I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the dew of the night. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I defile them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved. And my hand dripped with mirth, my finger would look with mirth on the handle of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away, was gone. You see, when we go back and remember, when the children complained at the edge of the promised land, it was too late for them to go in. When some of them tried to go in, they got defeated by the armies there, didn't they? Because God has said, back in the desert, let's go round and round and round and round and round. 40 years going round and round and round until all that generation died off and the children were left. And only Joshua and Caleb went in from the older generation. And we can go round and round and round and round. In our Christian life, we can go round and round and round and never go anywhere. The Lord wants us to go forward, not back. You see, if you're going up a hill on a bike and you stop pedaling, something happens, doesn't it? If you stop pedaling and you're going up a hill, it doesn't just stay still. If you've got your feet on the pedals, you go back and you're going to do yourself great harm. Even though it gets steeper, keep on pedaling. Go forward. And the Lord says, back to Revelation, I will come into him and die with him and he with me. You see, the Lord wants the most intimate relationship with you and me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, the Creator has spoken. We've looked at the seven letters. And it's really one letter. What are you going to do with it? What am I going to do with it? You see, every problem of any church at any time can be summed up in those letters. Any problem in the church is in those letters. Any difficulties are in those letters. And there is an answer there in those letters for the direction we're going in. So, are we going to go round and round, or are we going to go forward with the Lord? Are we going to be brave enough to remember and now repent so we can go forward and revive and reach out and obey the Lord's command to spread the gospel into our local neighbourhood? It's no good anybody thinking those walls are too high. Can't the Lord knock down the walls? He knocked down the walls of Jericho. What did it take? People praying, obeying the Lord, praying together. What did it take? So if there's any wall in your life, is it too high, too big for God? Will it be knocked down tonight? Will you repent? Will you recognize God is bigger than any problem you have? Will you recognize that the Lord will give you the strength to go through the wall, to knock it down? Or will you say, That's just theory. It's not reality. What will you do with the Lord's word? Will you revive, or will you still stay the same? Will I revive, or will I stay the same? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen.